But thank the Lord for his mercy and goodness to us. And glad for the goodness of God. Amen. Good to have Doug Saddle and his family with us today. Praise the Lord. And everybody else too. Amen. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Want to just give you some announcements this morning. A lot of things going on. Of course, there'll be service this afternoon at the nursing home in Culpeper at 3:30 this afternoon. I don't think it's on your calendar there, but it is this afternoon. And then Tuesday night will be a church service. Brother Smith will be okay. Goody. Tuesday night, Brother Smith will be preaching Tuesday night, so everybody be here, and you'll appreciate his ministry. Some of his relation died in Kentucky, and he had to go preach a funeral this weekend, so that's the reason he's not here. Of course, there'll be young people's prayer service this evening at 5:45, and youth service at 6 o'clock, and the evening service at 7. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week, Bealeton will have a ministry from Export will be there Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. All right, let's see here. Trinity Full Gospel Church at Hagerstown, Brother Sammy Finley is pastor. Starts revival on the 14th through the 19th with Brother Curtis Phillips. And also Elkton Convention, where Brother Gary Edenfield's pastor, starts Thursday night the 18th, and be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday convention there, day services as well. So a lot of things going on the 22nd. Through the 26th of this month, we'll be in revival with Brother Brent Gabbard. That's Brother Johnny Gabbard's son, and you'll be glad you come to hear. Praise God, and you'll be blessed by his ministry. Everybody happy, say amen. Amen. Well, I've got a few old sad folks, or mad folks, I'm not sure which, but we're glad you're here. Whether you're glad, sad, or mad, I'm still glad you're here. Amen. All right, turn with us in your Bibles this morning. I want to go back to the same verses we looked at last Sunday. And trust that God will help us for his glory. Amen. Last Sunday morning, let's see here. Amen. First of all, let's read out of Romans chapter 8, down at verse 34. Then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And then we will go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Amen. Brother Chip, I might just get you to read that 1 Timothy chapter 6 when we get to that part. And then we'll read one verse out of, or maybe more out of, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. So, got a lot of scriptures to read today. I remember years ago, Brother L.L. Collins said, if you don't have much to say, read a lot of scripture. Well, I might have both this morning. Praise God. So we'll start with Romans chapter 8 and starting at verse 34. Amen. Reading down through the rest of that chapter. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning at verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. As the Jew of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Amen. Then we want to read out of Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Amen. You may be seated. Perilous. Perils in our time. Perils. Word means hard, difficult, grievous, fierce. So, trust that the Lord will help us this morning as we look in His Word again. In reading all of these verses again last night and again this morning, I come to the realization in America we are a spoiled people. We are very, very spoiled. You know, we've got everything. I mean, we are a blessed people, and we don't even stop to give God thanks for His blessings. You don't realize how blessed we are until you go to some of these third world countries, which I have been several times, and see the poverty and the conditions that people live in other parts of the world. We are a blessed and yet spoiled people. And just because that we don't have two nickels to go to McDonald's when we want to, we think we are in bad shape. But I want to tell you, there's people far worse off than we are. Amen. But reading these verses, especially this morning, and come to the realization that Paul, in his writings, was talking about perils in the natural physical body, the beatings, the cat of nine tails on his back, the lashes, the storms, all the things that came upon him. But I look at things today and I don't see near the physical or natural disasters and dangers that we have. But we are beset with a mentality in this generation that has brought us away from God instead of closer to God. I trust that the Lord, a spiritual condition in our country now is worse than it was in Paul's day when he encountered all the spirit, all the physical and natural disasters. The spiritual condition of the church world is far worse now than it was then. And you can say whatever you desire. I have no desire to go back to the sawdust days and the sawdust trails and those times as far as conditions in our previous years here and brush harbors and those type of meetings. Thank God for a wonderful church building. Thank God for good pews. Amen. That you can go to sleep on when the preacher gets too boring. Thank God for good carpet floors and fine electricity and all the amenities that we have and the conveniences of our time. I thank God for that. But the mentality, spiritual condition of our time is so desperate that prosperity has never brought anybody closer to God. And according to history, it is always prosperous times, amen, has deluded the mind so much that they have taken the place of the desire for God in the church. Amen. We got so many things to do, so many places that we can go, that we do go, so many activities and extracurricular things to do, pleasures of this life and pleasures of this world, cares of this life that has choked out the word of God and the blessings and the riches of his grace. Amen. It doesn't take much to keep people out of church anymore. Really, it doesn't. I mean, if their little finger hurts, amen, they got to stay home and nurse it. If one of the kids get the sniffles, six people has to stay home and blow the kid's nose. You know, it don't take much to keep people out of church. I mean, the grass needs mowing. So, amen, they've got any little excuse at all to keep from going to the house of God. But that's the condition. That's the condition of our time. And I come to realize more than ever, and it is a result of this first church condition that we read to you out of the book of Revelation chapter 2, this first church, Ephesus. It all stems from that. Everything, all the conditions of those other six churches really stems from the condition of the first church, that they had left their first love. Amen. And when people lose their real passionate desire and love for God and the church and the word of God and prayer, it doesn't take much to sidetrack them from the real principles of God's precious book and life of holiness and separation. Amen. Amen. I gave to you last week. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the church at Ephesus and the peril and the sign of danger. The first sign of danger is you left your first love. Amen. You didn't lose it. You left it. And amen. And another way of putting that is they abandoned their first love. Amen. They had it, but they just walked off and left it. And I find that's true. And Sister Savage was talking this morning, sitting at the table drinking coffee. Amen. I've already had my coffee for today, and I could drink another cup or two. Praise God. But sitting there, she brought up the subject. Amen. What has happened to love? And it's not just love for God. It's just love in general. In the home. On the job. Just love for one another. Just seem like people have abandoned it. Walked off and left it. It is not there. It doesn't take much to separate people's friendship anymore. Amen. I said some years ago, you love whom you will to love. And that's not just a husband and wife relationship. That's just, amen, friends. If you want to stay friends, you can stay friends. And that doesn't mean that you have to agree on everything to be friends. Amen. Brother Jim Powers and myself, when he was living, we had a 45-year unbroken friendship. And we could have disagreed so much that we would have been arch enemies on some things. But we refused to allow those differences to break our friendship. Amen. I've got friends that's not even Christians. And sometimes, help me, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. But sometimes those sinner friends will do more for you than Christian friends. And that's a tragedy. And the reason is because, amen, Christians have abandoned their love. Amen. It's just something that we talk about. Amen. But don't really exhibit or, amen, become involved with. So, amen, the first sign of danger is in the peril of our time, amen, that people have abandoned their first love. Amen. Then we talked about the church at Smyrna. The church at Smyrna, amen, they were afraid to suffer. Amen. In verse 10 of the second chapter of Revelation, he said, fear none of those things. And we have a generation now in the church that is afraid to suffer. They don't want to be different. They run from that classic accusations of you're a holy roller or you're a sanctified jolly junk. They don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be called, amen, a church goer, a fanatic, or a right winger. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, Jesus said, fear none of those things. Amen. Don't be afraid to suffer. Amen. And then in verse 14 of the second chapter of Revelation, we have the church of Pergamos. Amen. Who eventually they allowed the doctrine of Balaam to come, the Nicolaitans. Amen. And they went beyond the bounds of what is proper and right. Amen. And the only antidote for that, the only antidote for doctrinal error is to know what the Bible says. I have never seen a church-going generation that is so ignorant about what the Bible says. They know more about what the sports heroes have said. They know more about what the celebrities have said. Matter of fact, they know more about what the politicians have said. They know more about, amen, most anything happening in the world than they do what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible is the infallible Word of God. And if you know what the Bible says, the Bible teachings will keep you from doctrinal error. Amen. And we have a prominent doctrine that's being revived. It's nothing new. It happened many, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, really, when it first surfaced. Amen. That Jesus Christ was a created being, and he's no more than the angels. That is a fallacy. He is the Son of God. Amen. He said, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He's always been. Amen. He is God manifested in the flesh. Amen. So doctrinal error, amen, is a result of people's love for God being abandoned and their fear of being persecuted. Now that has degenerated, amen, to doctrinal error. And following that, following getting the teachings of the Bible, somebody said to me one time, said, I don't believe in doctrine. Then I said, you don't believe in the Bible. Because the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all doctrine. Amen. Now there are false doctrines, I admit, and confess to you that there are false doctrines that you need to stay away from. God bless you, Bill. Do it again. Yeah, I figured it's coming again. Amen. Praise God. But if you stay within the leads of this Bible and read what it says and then believe that it means what it says, amen, you can stay clear of doctrinal error. It's like a bank teller. Amen. They're not allowed to handle any imitation or counterfeit money. Amen. In their training, they don't handle anything. Somebody said, how do you know when some counterfeit money comes across the counter there? Amen. They have handled in their training nothing but the real stuff. I mean real money. Amen. And when something comes across, amen, that is counterfeit, amen, you can tell it. Come on here. Amen. And if you know what the Bible says, and you know what the Bible teaches, and you know what the Bible instructs you with, amen, and about if something comes across, it doesn't sound right. Come on here. It just doesn't have that soundness to it. Amen. Amen. I don't know about that. Amen. Then search it out. Search the scripture. The Bible said, amen, concerning a group in the book of Acts, that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things, amen, that the apostles said was true. Amen. They searched the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Know what the Bible says. Amen. Are y'all still here? Amen. This book is right. Somebody said, well, I think. It doesn't matter what we think. If what we think does not correspond with what the Bible teaches, our thinking is wrong. And that's very possible. Amen. Somebody else says, well, I feel. I mean, feelings are deceiving. Feelings are very deceiving. Been a few times. I went to bed at night, amen, and woke up just in an hour or so, and I felt so rested. I said, man, I've slept all night long. And look at the clock. It's 1 o'clock. Amen. In the morning, not in the afternoon. Amen. But I felt like I'd slept all night. And then there's been other times when I slept till 7 o'clock in the morning, amen, and woke up, and the alarm went off. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Man, I don't feel like I had one wink of sleep. How? But your feelings deceive you. Amen. You cannot go by your feelings. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what this Bible teaches you. Amen. I talked to a brother, and I know him well, known him for many, many years, and dear friend, amen. He said, I have never eat, amen, until I felt like I was full. He said, I've eaten plenty. I've eaten gobs of stuff. And he didn't use the word gobs, but he said, I have eaten as much as anybody sitting at the table and still just didn't feel like I was full. Said, I just quit. Feelings are deceiving. Help me here. So we don't live by what you feel. You live by what this Bible teaches us. I feel this is right. Amen. Or somebody says, I don't feel condemned about this. It doesn't matter. If the Bible said it's wrong, amen, you are already condemned. Feelings are deceiving. Amen. So, then comes the church of Thyatira. After people lose their first love, they become skittish about being persecuted. They don't want to be called right wing or oddball. They don't, and then they go in doctrinal error. And following that, you can rest assured, invariably, they will become worldly. Amen. The church of Thyatira, amen, was a moral compromising church. Amen. You notice this continual regression, a downward trend, a downward spiral until you get to the last church. Amen. The Laodicean church is the worst of all. Amen. But it's a continual decline. And I want to tell you, I see this very thing happening in individual lives as well as churches as a whole. Amen. Moral compromise. The church at Thyatira. Amen. They were mixing immoral worship with pure worship. Amen. They were worshiping God, but they suffered that woman Jezebel. Amen. Same type of characters, what is in the Old Testament. Wasn't the same woman, no, but the same spirit. Amen. The same spirit. Amen. You suffered that woman Jezebel to seduce. Are y'all still with me? Amen. To seduce and to bring reproach. Help me here. Amen. And you suffered this woman, amen, to teach in your church. Amen. And here she is, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Amen. And God said, I gave her space of time to repent, and she repented not. Amen. Moral compromise always follows, amen, the church that lends their ear to a doctrinal error. Invariably, it happens. Amen. And mixing immoral worship with real, pure worship. Now, I want to tell you, if you want to poison a dog or any animal, you don't just put the raw poison out there. Amen. Help me here. No, you don't just put the raw. They'll sniff it and walk away from it. But you, are y'all still here? You take a good piece of bread or a good piece of meat or a bone or whatever. Amen. Something that is good, and you mix with it or you pour on it or put on it some type of poison that will kill that varmint. Amen. And they will eat it and be smacking their lips. Amen. While they're eating it, not knowing and not realizing that it's going to kill them. Amen. And that's where we are in the church world. Amen. People have, they've got a lot of good characteristics about them. Help me here. Amen. This neo-Pentecostal, new Pentecost has come out now. Amen. Somebody said, but they got such a sweet spirit. They just, amen, just love, just emanates out of them. They just love everybody. But look at the poison that comes with that. Amen. Come on here. It takes more than just sweetness and kindness. Amen. You got to have what's right, void, amen, of poison. Ah, I want to tell you, poison will kill you. Yeah, it will. Amen. It may be mixed in with, amen, worshiping God. But I want to tell you, if their heart's wrong, if their soul is wrong, if their life, amen, is in contradiction to what the Bible teaches, amen, then they are wrong, and it's poison. It will kill them eventually, amen. And but they'll lap it up. It's wonderful. It's great, amen. They are such a lovely person. Amen. They're such a sweet person. But I want to tell you, they got poison with them. Lord, have mercy here this morning. Amen. Moral compromise. I want to tell you, sin is still sin. Adultery is still adultery. Fornication is still fornication. It's all still sin. Homosexuality is still wrong in sin. Come on here. Amen. The gay and lesbian, the group in our society that is just about taking over everything would have you to know that they are Christians too. And they were born this way. God made them that way. That's rotten poison. Amen. I want to tell you, but there's another group that is more deceiving than that. There is another group that is very similar to the gay community, and that is bisexuals. Help me here. And they're as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than the totally gay community because, amen, help me here. I know people personally, amen, that are married to, if it's a woman, she's married to a man. If it's a man, he's married to a woman. And yet, they are reprobates. Amen. Help me here. What do you think all this hoopaloo is going on? Amen. In the political realms now about this legislators from the way out west, amen, that was caught up in Minnesota in the men's restroom. But he's married. He's got children. Come on here. Amen. And that is just as destructive, if not more so, amen, than the homosexual gay community because it's so deceiving. But it's still sin. Amen. And God said, I gave her space to repent. Amen. But she repented not. No repentance came. Headstrong. And then the judgment of God because of no sensitivity to God's word or his spirit. And when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. Their past feelings. Amen. Any sensitivity. I'm talking to you this morning again about the peril of our time. Amen. We have arrived as it was in the days of Lot. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, as it was in the days of Noah. Men's hearts were on evil continually. Amen. Now, another peril of our time. Amen. This when you leave or abandon your first love, and then you don't want to be called, amen, some religious fanatic name, and then you wind up going into doctrinal error, and then moral compromise. Amen. And before you realize it, they have arrived at a time that is called spiritual deadness. Amen. The church of Sardis, they were spiritually dead. Amen. They had a name that they lived, but they are dead. Are y'all still here? Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest. You have a name. You're alive. But you're dead. Spiritual deadness. Amen. Because of spiritual deadness, then comes because they have no spirituality, because there's no urgency, and they have no passion for God. They have no passion for the house of God and spiritual things. Amen. They've got to have something to fill that void. Amen. To keep people coming to church. And so then comes other extracurricular activities and games and criticism. And I read an article one time here a while back, what they call the gospel ballet. Amen. Amen. I think I told you last week, Brother Berg in West Virginia told of a church there that a pastor encouraged dancing in the church service. And everybody ought to allow a man on this side with his wife to come over here to a woman on this side with her husband, and them get out in the aisle or the front of the church and just do the Charleston or dance. Amen. I want to tell you, that's wrong. Help me here. But you see, when people become spiritually dead and they're void of their real love for God, they've got to have something to keep them interested. Come on here. They've got to have something to keep them interested, desire to go to church. They've got to have the power team. I lost y'all right there. Amen. They've got to have the spiritual wrestlers to come and put on exposition. Amen. They are Christian wrestlers. Hogwash. Amen. Amen. Ah, we got this here. We got this singing group. Amen. That looks like, help me here, demons out of the underworld, but they're called gospel rock concert to come to the church to draw a crowd. They got to have something constantly to pull people to the church because they are spiritually dead. They have no spiritual insight. They have no spiritual desire to worship God out of their hearts. Amen. They are dead inside. Amen. Full of dead men's bones. Amen. The Bible said, and so they've got to have something to keep them excited about going to church. The reason is because they've abandoned their first love. Natural means keep them coming. Because there's no prayer to get people interested. A profession with no possession. A form of godliness, but denying the power of it. Amen. Are y'all still with me? This church of Sardis had a name that they were living, but God said they're dead. You can go through the forms of a church service and not be spiritual at all. Amen. You can come to the altar when everybody else comes and be spiritually dead. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Savage. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. A form of godliness, but deny the power of it to change your life, to change your heart, to change your, amen, person, to change your motives, to change your desires. Amen. Ha! Just come on to church, amen, and live like the devil, but come on to church and, amen, shout with the rest of us. Amen. That's a dead church. Amen. Now, God said, be watchful. Strengthen that remains. Amen. Amen. Remember, in chapter 3, verse 3, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, thou shalt not watch. I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now he says, there's a few, even in Sardis, even in a dead church, there are a few that's still holding on to my name. Praise God, that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. I'm going to tell you something. Even in some of the worldly churches that have gone far left, there are a few older saints in that congregation that has held on. Really is. Yes, sir. I'm talking to y'all. There are a few. But when them older saints die and gone to their eternal reward, there's nobody that's going to fill the vacuum where they are with the same dedication and commitment. Amen. A spiritually dead church. There were a few that had not defiled themselves, and they kept it right. He said, strengthen that remains. Amen. Repent. Beware. I will come, amen, unto you as a thief in the night, not knowing. You won't know until it's too late. And I don't want God to come and look at my life or look at the church, the people in this church, and say, you are dead. You are spiritual. You go through the form of church. You go through the form of singing Amazing Grace. You sing like everybody else sings. Amen. You stand when everybody else stands. Amen. You clap your hands when everybody else claps their hands. Amen. And you go to the altar, amen, for a few minutes, and you do what everybody else does. But you are spiritually dead. You have left, abandoned, amen, your first love. Ah, we are in perilous times. Amen. And God said, wake up! Amen. Wake up. Amen. I'll give you an opportunity to get it fixed. Amen. But God says, beware. If you don't get it fixed, I will see to it. Amen. You'll not last forever. Amen. Danger will come and tragedy. Amen. Will strike people's lives and hearts because they have left their first love. Amen. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, these are the days. And I know, as far as some people is concerned, I belong to the past generation. I understand that. And I don't mind that. Praise God. I'm glad for it, really. I'm not in tune with this mentality of this generation that we're living in. I have no intentions of being in tune with them. I want to be sensitive to the Word of God and the principles of righteousness. Amen. I said to somebody the other day, I said, hey, it seems like anymore you preach your heart out. Amen. And you do all that you know to do. You pray. You seek God. Amen. You teach. You preach. Amen. But it seems as though there's very little change in people's lives and conduct. They just keep. Just like water pouring on a duck's back. Somebody said, oh, why don't you change your message? Not on your life. I'm going to have to stand before God after a while. And I will answer to him about my faithful conduct. Amen. Have I been true and have I been faithful to the Word of God? I want to hear him say, well done. I said, well done. Hallelujah. Amen. The Church of Philadelphia, amen, along with the Church of Smyrna, is the only other church, Church of Philadelphia, that did not have any condemnation from God about it. Amen. The only thing that God had to say to this church at Philadelphia. Amen. And if you used to read Mark chapter 15, verse 32. Amen. There are such thing as called false brethren. Somebody say amen. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, verse 9 of chapter 3, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Amen. There are false Christians. False brethren. False sisters. Hello. Amen. If you want to help your pastor, does anybody here like to help your pastor? Well, I got half of you. God bless the rest of you. Amen. If you really want to help your pastor, amen, here's two things that will really help your pastor. Be at church. Number one, be at church. And then, number two, act like you're glad to be here when you get here. Man, that will help a preacher. Praise God. Amen. In verse 11 of chapter 3, he said, he's talking to the church at Philadelphia, church of brotherly love. Amen. Hold fast. Amen. Verse 11. Hold fast. Amen. I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Don't be persuaded to change because other people are. I had somebody recently say, well, Brother Savage, so-and-so is doing such-and-such, and they say they're still saved. I said, that ain't got nothing to do with you and God. You're not going to answer for them. You're going to answer for yourself. Help me here. Amen. Amen. Was it Brother Kinsey used to sing that song? Amen. I face nobody's record but my own. Brother Foster used to sing that too. Amen. And Brother, when you get before God on the eternal judgment day, you're not going to have to give account for nobody but yourself. Believe it or not, you'll not even have to give account for your husband or wife. You'll have to give account of your own self. Don't be persuaded to change because somebody else is. They'll have to answer to God. Amen. Somebody said to me one time, amen, they said, Brother Savage, so-and-so allows certain things in their church that you don't allow. I said, I ain't got nothing to do with that. That's not my problem. I don't have to answer for them. All I've got to do is answer to God for this church and how I have preached and maintained the standards of righteousness right here in this church. Somebody say amen here. Yeah. Amen. You don't have to change because John Doe's church over there, amen, in the big city has said, it's all right for you to go so-and-so and do such and such. Amen. That's got nothing to do with me and my church. Amen, Brother Savage. Some will reason with you that this is an obsolete way. Obsolete message. Not necessary anymore, Brother Savage. No. You know, we're living, get with the times. We're in a new dispensation, and we're in a new generation. People, you've got to change with the time, and you've got to change with the generation. Amen. I said, that's the problem with the church we're right now. They're all changing with the time, and God's word is opposed to it. Amen. Hallelujah. In verse 10, he said, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation. This church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, the real love. I'm not talking about, amen, a hypocritical love. I'm talking about a genuine love for God. Amen. And love for his word and love for, amen, the house of God. Amen. He said, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation. Praise God, because you have a love for God. God said that. I'll keep you from being yielding to one of those that's yielded to temptation. It is not wrong to be tempted. The wrong is yielding to that temptation. Amen. Amen. Ah, when a man is tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Huh? Amen. Amen. And enticed. And that drawing away, you don't have to give in to that temptation. You don't have to give in to that seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. Amen. You don't have to give in to that, amen, those false brethren. You don't have to give in to that immoral compromise. You don't have to give in. Amen. Somebody said to me not long ago, said, man, that preacher's the greatest preacher that's ever been, amen, in our movement. And look what he's teaching. I said, that's got nothing to do with what God's word said. If God's word said it, it's wrong. He's in doctrinal error. This book is right. I said, this book is the final analysis of every, amen, issue that ever comes up. This book is right. Amen. Amen. And God said to this church at Philadelphia, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation. If you keep your love right and keep your love for God right, I'll keep you from that hour of temptation. Amen. And then the last thing I want to talk to you about in the peril of our time is how people get lukewarm. Lukewarm. Verse 14 of the third chapter of Revelation. The Laodicean church world. Now, what? Tell me something about lukewarm. Amen. Now, lukewarm is neither hot nor cold. God said, if you're neither hot nor cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. God said, I would that you were either hot or cold. You know, it's easier to get a rank, blatant, mean, devilish sinner saved than it is somebody that's professing to be a Christian and in the church and living a loose life. You can't hardly reach them. Oh, I'm good as anybody else. There, you know, to get something lukewarm, you've got to have a mixture. Hot and cold put together. Amen. This downward spiral, this is where it leads us. This is the end result. I've told you this before, but it fits in right here. And I'll finish in about another 30 minutes. Amen. One fellow said, while I continue to close. Amen. You remember in the book of Genesis, about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And God said, you can have anything in this garden to eat except one thing. The tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge. But didn't stop there. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the death knell. Good and evil mixed together. Amen. Brings you to where the Laodicean church is. Lukewarm. I got some good points. I got some devilish points too. But I put them together. I'm a church member. I'm a church goer. I want to tell you, you can't mix good and evil. I mean, communism and capitalism does not have anything in common. Come on here. Nothing. They cannot coexist. Neither can good and evil coexist without producing a generation that is religious and yet live like the devil. Good and evil. And God said, thou shalt not eat of this tree. Because in the day that you eat of this tree, of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Amen. I want to tell you, that's the generation of where we are. That's the peril of our time right now. Amen. In the Pentecostal movement across America, and it's swiftly going to the other countries of the world as well, they have mixed good and evil together, and they've made no distinction. They want Jesus Christ as their Savior, but not as Lord of their life. Amen. Amen. They want to be religious, and they are religious. They have a form of godliness. Amen. But they deny the power of that gospel to change lives. It's not necessary to change. You don't have to. Just keep right on doing what. Just come on to church and join the church. Sign the book. Amen. Shake the preacher's hand, and you're all right. God said, I wish that you were either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, amen, you got both of them mixed all up together. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Amen. Some of you older saints might remember Brother Ellis Allen. Amen. He's been deceased many years now. I went to his funeral in Kentucky. He was a powerful preacher at one time. I mean, Ellis Allen was a scriptorian. He could quote the Bible anywhere, any amount of chapters that you want to, in any book, any time. He said God gave him the gift when he had first got saved, if I remember right. He said, and when he'd get up to preach, he'd never look at the congregation. He'd look at that wall. And he said when he would start to quote the scripture, in his mind, he saw it wrote on the wall. Powerful preacher. But I'll never forget one year when Brother Jim Powers was pastoring at Sear Falls, and this has been a long time ago. Ellis Allen preached his convention there, and he took his text from this Laodicean church where God said, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And that was during the years when Madeline Murray O'Hara, is that right? That's her name, wasn't it? Amen. When she was going strong, you know, and saying God is dead. Amen. And she went all over the United States and halfway around the world, I guess, saying, propagating her gospel that God was dead. Amen. And he latched on to this verse and he said, God's not dead, just sick. I thought that's pretty sharp. Amen. God's not dead. He's very much alive. And he preached on about God being alive and the power of God and the life of God and the character of God. And then he got down to where God's sick at sin in the church. If judgment must first begin at the house of God, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Amen. And this danger of being lukewarm, the Laodicean church, amen, this is the end result of starting on this downward trend or spiral. Amen. The peril of our time. When you leave your first love or abandon your first love, amen, you still have some good traits. You still have some good characteristics. Read about the church at Ephesus. Amen. They had some wonderful things said about them, but they had left their first love. And this is the end result of losing your first love. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, start reading at verse 4. Supposing that what? That gain is. Oh, look how God bless me. Man, I'm just running out the ears. I got money. Praise God. Supposing, amen, that what? Gain is godliness. Read on. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you, we have arrived as a nation right there. Amen. We think that because we are a prosperous nation, and even as individuals, we have more than we've ever had. And we think that that produces godliness. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, godliness does not come in greenbacks. Amen. Godliness comes out of a broken heart that is sincere before God. Amen. And I'm going to say this. Probably some of you are going to run away from here now, but it's okay. I was teaching in the preacher's seminar down in conference down in Tennessee a year or so ago. Amen. And I told those preachers, I said, beware about catering to wealthy people. For in time, they will try to control you. Because money is the root of all evil. I lost you. Gain is not necessarily godliness. Now, it is not wrong. I want to talk to you. It is not wrong to have money. It is not wrong to have things. It is not wrong to have land. It is not wrong to have any of this world's goods. The wrong is when it has us. I've known, amen, thank God, the Lord's been gracious to me through my years. Amen. Though I never was a recipient of any of their temporal things in life. Amen. But I have known a lot of millionaires in my lifetime. Good men. Amen. But you would have never known they had any money. They're just, amen. Are y'all still with me? Are y'all still here? I lost y'all here. Amen. They were just ordinary people. But they were, I mean, Jewel Rose, Potato King of California. We preached a revival in Shafter, California years ago. When our Ricky, our son Ricky, was real small. Amen. And Jewel Rose, potato king of California, amen, had hundreds of acres of land in potatoes, and he sold potatoes by the truckload or trainloads, amen. They called him the potato king of California, but he'd go to that church. We preached a revival there, amen, Shafter, Oklahoma. He'd go to that church, grab a tambourine, amen, and he'd beat that tambourine and shout all over the place. And you never knew he was a millionaire.
I've got money. I'm better than you.
Ah, I could name some names here this morning that I know men that are real good men, godly men, that's got money. Money, money. Are y'all still with me? And you would be shocked out of your shoes to know that they were millionaires. And some of them have preached in our pulpit. Come on here. Somebody say amen. I want to tell you, you can have this world's good. Did you know that Abraham was the richest man of the East? Amen. He had more than all the other worldly people put together. He was a very wealthy man, but he was called a friend of God. I'm going to balance this here in just a minute. Amen. Did you know that there wasn't anybody any more wealthy of his time? The oldest book in the Bible, that the Bible, the book is named after him, Job. He was a very, very wealthy man. Amen. Amen. Look and read about him. But I want to tell you, the goods did not have him. Amen. Amen. When it came down to drawing the line, amen, he said, naked I came into this world, naked I'm going out of here. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Now I want to tell you, amen, it's not wrong to have things, but when things have you, that you cannot obey the word of God, amen, and the principles of righteousness and purity, because, amen, come on here, amen, you don't want to endanger yourself. Ah, brother, I want to tell you, this world's goods is going to pass away after a while. That bank account you got will do you no good. Amen. When you're laying out in the, amen, in front of the pulpit in a corpse, amen, that money will do you no good. And people that you leave it to is going to run it away and run it up, amen, drink it up in alcohol and smoke it up and throw it away, amen. Come on here. It's not going to do you one ounce of good when you get, amen, to the crossing of the eternal world, amen. So get this in mind. You can be wealthy, amen, and be spiritual, or you can be wealthy and be a hypocrite. Hallelujah, whichever one, but you can turn that coin around the other side. Amen. I've seen people that was poor as Job's turkey that had to lean up against the fence post to gobble. Amen. Amen. That's pretty poor. But I've seen those people that were so poor, amen, they had nothing as far as this world's goods is concerned, but they were so proud. We had a family in Texas in the church there in Texas. I mean, they were poor people, real poor people. But those girls were so proud. Ah, man, they wanted everything just right. And there, they depended on their looks, and they were pretty girls. Amen. They depended on their looks to get whatever they wanted in life. Amen. But as far as I know, I don't know that there's even one of them that's saved and, amen, live in wholeness anymore. I want to tell you, amen, you just because you have nothing does not make you spiritual. Amen. Your spirituality has nothing to do with what you don't have or what you do have. Amen. Your spirituality depends upon your love for God. Amen. And when you have a love for God, amen, it won't matter to you then whether you have a whole lot or whether you have nothing. Amen. Whether you have two nickels to rub together, praise God, are y'all still with me? Are you a multi-millionaire? Amen. If God's blessed you in this life, be content with whatever you have and say, thank God I have that. Amen. Amen. Laodicea, this church of Laodicea, said, "We are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." We are the epitome of success. And God said, "Knowest thou not that thou art wretched and blind and poor and naked?" Huh? Amen. Amen. I counsel thee. Amen. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And God leaves the door open. And he said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And then he does his best to reach somebody. And he says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Now, verse 21. Amen. We see the reward of overcoming and staying right with God. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." We are living in such a dangerous time, perilous time, fierce time. The best I can describe it is like this. I read extensively last night about World War II. And I read about the Battle of the Bulge. Fierce battle. That was one of the major deciding battles of the war. The Germans almost broke through the Allied lines by taking the uniforms off our dead soldiers and put them on German soldiers, and almost succeeded in breaking through the front lines because they looked like our men. They have the uniform of the Allied soldiers, but they were still German. And had it not been the fact that God intervened and their plot was discovered, it could very possibly be that America today would be under the Nazi control and government. But God, by his divine mercy, I want to tell you, we are living in a generation in the American church. There are people that come to church that act like, look like, and have the appearance of just like the rest of us. But inside, they're still Germans. Inside, they're still worldly minded. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. Well, amen. That finishes up the peril of our time, part two. And I hope that it has been some benefit. We are living in dangerous times, perilous times. And God help us to be able to discern, amen, of our time. Amen. Everybody stand. Let's come pray. We got time.